listening to Swinging Down Under, a podcast about the swinging, non-monogamous lifestyle. From two crazy Australians with over 4 years of lifestyle antics to keep you entertained, informed, angry, happy and horny. Join our international swinging adventures. And welcome. I'm C, crazy female Australian Sheila and believer of all things love, balance and sexy times.
And this is D. I'll be doing my best to keep the dad jokes to a minimum, which is probably going to be highly unlikely. Along with that, I'll keep C in check where I can. Did I mention I'm a pilot? We'll be your podcast host for today, so sit back and enjoy the sweet, sweet melodies.
G'day guys, welcome to episode 81.
Yes, welcome.
Happy to be here, as always. We are actually testing out some new equipment today. I was pretty goddamn excited to order this online from, when did I order this? New Year's.
Yes, you did.
Yeah. New Year's, yeah. And so this has travelled all the way from Melbourne to Sydney in Australia, and then from Sydney to Singapore. So woo!
Yeah, absolutely. It's a pretty exciting thing, really.
D does not care at all.
Not at all.
He's put some strict limitations on the number of times I'm allowed to play with the buttons on the mixing board. So I'll do my best. I'm going to say no more than 2 to 3 times in this episode.
I'm going to say less than one time.
Less
in this
than
episode.
One? Okay.
Yeah. That's what we're aiming for as a target.
Well, awesome. So today's episode, we're talking about listener questions, a bit of a mailbag episode. Then we're going to do a sex toy review on the new Lovance Nora. And then at the end, we're going to do a social media buzz. We're going to talk about some unusual things in the lifestyle that nobody tells you when you first kick off. So welcome, episode 81. Let's get started with the questions. We've got about 5 to go through today, 5 or 6. So thanks everyone for sending these through. The first one is actually from Jack, and I did respond to this one on email, but we want to answer it out for the listeners as well. Jack actually said one time that we spoke about playing during the day at Desire, and he said, you know, we've mentioned it on previous podcasts. We did actually. We spoke about it in 2017 and again in 2018. And Jack's asking us, you know, they've got some, they're thinking about heading back to Desire Riviera Maya. They've been before. And last time, the whole, like, you know, starting to play at 12 midnight, 1 a.m., 2 a.m., like, it's a bit shitty. And so he was saying, you know, what are some ways that we could possibly instigate day play?
I mean, the real way to do it is simply to ask. I think that's, I don't know I can add much more than that. I mean, it's a pretty simple scenario. You can dick around or just ask somebody if they're open to day play.
So I went into a little bit more detail than that, as I'm sure everybody's shocked.
Yeah, I'm sure everyone's really shocked.
Well, the thing about day play is, yes, you're absolutely right. You can just ask, right? But you need to make those connections first of all. Now, if you're running a short session at Desire, you're only there for 3 days, your first day is wiped out by trying to make enough connections to even ask if they want to play. So my recommendation is always to go onto the Desire forums first, find people that are going at the same time as you, see if they look interesting to you, then reach out and try to build that connection before you even hit the ground. You disagree?
Totally disagree with that.
You think you're setting up expectations?
Yep.
Okay.
Because people are not ever who they appear to be on social media or on online chat forums or anything like that. They're always different when you meet them.
And that is the perils of actually connecting with people or groups before heading to a resort or a party. And actually, Swinger Diaries just released episode 70 of their podcast, and in the third section they talk about this exact thing. So setting up unknowingly, perhaps setting up expectations on people's persona. But otherwise, when you get there, absolutely, you know, make those connections early. Set up a dinner date for 4 people. Invite them to dinner. At dinner, at dancing, having drinks, ask them, you know, hey, we're really interested to play with you guys, and we'd like to see you maybe at 10, 11, 12 noon tomorrow. You know, can you stop by our room and come and play?
Yeah, that's the way you'd go. I mean, certainly still turning up in the middle of the day for play doesn't necessarily mean that you're just going to play. I'm sure there's, you know, some social aspects to that first rather than just walking into a room and fucking.
That's exactly what I was about to say next. So the next thing is then, you know, sometimes people freak out about day play. I personally, the first few times we've done it, it's a bit weird because in normal swinging etiquette and the way, you know, the parties flow, it's always like a nighttime thing. And so day play is a little bit out of character, and so it does make you a little bit nervous. It's unusual. It's new.
It's only out of character because everyone's scared of being seen naked and during the day.
That's exactly what I said to them. So, you know, how do you set up your room then? How do you make people feel more comfortable? How do you make it inviting?
Put on some music. Draw the curtains. Ta-da.
Get a game out.
Do you have a da-da button?
I have an applause button.
No, that's not going to work.
Yeah, exactly right. People may feel a little bit self-conscious. So, you know, one of the ways to get around that is then to close the curtains, better lighting in there, make it a little bit softer, have some music playing, have a bottle of champagne in there too, maybe play a card game, something like that that's going to...
Champagne? I mean, what are we, fucking Oprah? We're just splashing money around everywhere.
We are Oprah. I forget to tell you all the time. But yeah, that's the best way. I mean, it is about asking people. Obviously, you have to make those connections first. So really do try to make the connections as quickly as you possibly can. Find people that you're interested in and that you may want to play with, if that's your goal, and then move forward. If you're talking to somebody in the pool or the hot tub and you
So what does
realize,
moving forward mean?
Like ask them to dinner.
Ask them to dinner or ask them to play the next day?
Well, see, my recommendation is when you first get there, make the connection, ask them to dinner. At dinner and dancing, ask them to play the next day.
Now it's dinner and dancing.
Yes, at the same time on that dinner and dancing and in the hot tub in the afternoon, you're still making connections with other people. So basically you're constantly trying to be one foot forward a little bit. So
I would step back a little bit and establish something else first.
What's that?
That they're going to be there tomorrow.
Good point, yeah. Check in when people are going to be leaving. That's absolutely right.
It's the first question.
Yeah. How long are you guys here for? Oh, good, yeah. That's true.
No, you should absolutely understand that, because if they're only there for one day or they're leaving the next morning, then the chances of day play are really unlikely.
Yeah, we've made that failure before. Actually, that was a swinger failure. We've done that before. Not good. So thanks, Jack. That was awesome. Good question.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean... good luck with it.
Yeah, good luck with your second trip to Desire Riviera Maya. Hope you guys managed to get some day sex in.
Yeah.
Next question is from Mr. Ice Cream. And at the moment he said, for the context, we're comfortable playing with each other in a group of people, but we're yet to play with other people at this point, you know, like actually engage with other people. They are also heading to a resort. Now, the female, Mrs. Ice Cream, I guess, has experienced that. She's kind of interested in some female-female play, and she's acting like she's wanting to do it, but she's having some trouble getting her head around it. He's interested in it, but he's not sure that he wants to kind of force or feel like he's forcing her to do it or like he's encouraging too much, kind of wants to allow her some space, but gently, gently. So he's saying, you know, how do I keep the conversation open and sexy without pressing an agenda? Or should he have an agenda? You know, if they're off to their resort again, they might have a time limitation and she has a fantasy, she wants to play out with a female. You know, how should he try to encourage but not push?
I think this might need to come from a female perspective, because no matter how a man plays it, it's going to be seen as you trying to push. Even if you don't say anything, then the back end to that is that there's a concern that you're pushing.
I think you need to take the sexes out of this. You know, I don't think it technically matters that it's a him and that it's a her and that she's, you know, I don't think that matters. It's a moot point to me. I guess, you know, if...
I think it does matter, because women typically have a different reaction to this sort of thing to what men do, in my experience. So only going on my experience means that I would be concerned that if you pushed the matter, you would be seen as pushing it. And if you didn't push the matter, would possibly be seen as pushing it even though you're not pushing it.
So you're saying that he's fucked, basically?
Well, no. I think the only way that you can talk about it is to talk about experiences around it. You know, anything else about the event other than the things that, you know, there's concerns over at this point. I don't know that you can...
I get what you're saying. I think the big thing here is, like, in your experience and as a guy, and I've informed you before, I want to give this a go, but I've also said to you, hey, I've got these concerns, or I'm having trouble getting my head around it, or I'm feeling a bit slutty, or, you know, whatever the reasons are. How have you as a guy supported me in that without sounding like you're just either abandoning it, you know, kind of do what you want to do when you want to do? Because also the risk here, I think, is that if you just take a step back and almost ignore it, then there could possibly be a perception that, you know, you're not into it either, or you don't want to see it happen, or, you know, it's just not of an interest to you. So I think there is an element of, you know, yes, you're going to have a bit of pushing.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a tough one. I mean, you can't, if you push, you push, right? So if you don't want to be seen to push and you're concerned that your partner might freak out because of the push, then really you have no option but not to. But if your partner's somebody who typically won't do anything without a little nudge, then I mean, this is all about context. I don't know their relationship or anything. It depends on your relationship. If you've got a relationship that's a typical push-pull relationship, then go ahead and push. If you don't, and, you know, the person you're with, you have to discuss everything with and talk through it, then that's what you've got to do. I mean, I don't think there's a cure-all for this. You've got to play it the way your partnership runs. I mean, our partnership typically is we discuss it, and then it's not normally something that I can push, because if I push it, I end up in a scenario where you believe you're being pushed, and that is the end of it.
Well, I guess then some tips that I could probably offer in that regard then is maybe a good opportunity for you guys is to continue with perhaps the discussion or the sexy talk. You know, I mean, is there a way to look at some porn, engage in this in the bedroom, you know, doing some role play, some sexy talk?
I think you have to be careful of that as well, though.
You do, because absolutely.
That is just another form of pushing. I mean, certainly when it comes to some of my fantasies around single man play, it gets to a point where you tell me that you've had enough of it.
The way that you could do it then, maybe some other questions and probing questions, you know, what about it interests you? What about it turns you on? And just ask those. When you're at Desire, you know, on the first day and you're chatting around the pool, I mean, maybe speak to your spouse and say, you know, hey, what do you think about these people? You know, do you find them attractive? Do you find them interesting? And then try to go from there, I guess. Navigating her just playing with a woman as well, you know, there's some discussions around that, because if you do find a couple, obviously Desire is couples generally, you know, they do allow a third single lady upon request, you know, generally you're going to come across a couple. And so if it's just the two females interacting, you know, how does that play out? How does that look like? And that discussion probably needs to be had with that other couple as well, so that the other gentleman is very well aware that he will not be engaging in your wife. And then, you know, to what extent are you going to push that? Is it just going to be a makeout session in the hot tub, or is it going to be some soft play as well?
Yeah, I think that's just got to play it by ear, unfortunately. It's a relationship scenario and you have to dig into your relationship and understand it. Talking is one thing, but there's an awful lot of nonverbal cues that we all know of our partners that you have to take into account as well. It needs to be worked through.
Yeah, so thanks, Mr. Ice Cream. Really appreciate that. And again, good luck with your trip as well. We've got a lot of trips to Desire happening here in this question and answer session.
Yeah, we do.
The next one here is actually from Mike, and it's about STIs. Now, I've already responded to Mike on email about this, but Dee, I'm happy to, and I'm curious to get your thoughts on the matter. I'm not going to go into the whole detail here, but I'm going to summarize it. Basically, he runs a lifestyle group in a certain location. One of the couples has mentioned that someone in the group has an STI that perhaps they may or may not be sharing with other couples. And this is coming fourth hand to Mike. So he's curious, really, how does he handle this? You know, is it appropriate to ask a couple for a copy of their latest STI check? If they have one, you know, should they supply it first? You know, and the other couple has informed them that the infected couple, you know, has mentioned names of people that they've played with in the past. So, you know, does this person have a responsibility to share this information? Again, it's coming fourth hand to him, and really it's a bit of a doozy. What are your thoughts?
Let's start with STI testing. STI testing is something that is absolutely critical for people who are involved in any sort of sexual relationship, monogamous or not. It's a requirement of you being happy and healthy and believing that your partner is also happy and healthy. If you had any other transmittable disease, sexual or not, you would do your best to not give it to your partner. So for example, if you've got the common cold, you're going to do your best not to give that common cold to your partner, right? That's just being a thoughtful partner. Okay, so that's absolutely the case, that STI testing is important. However, STI test papers are not worth the paper they're printed on.
Mm-hmm.
Because as soon as you have had that test, even if you test clear, you may go home and play with your own partner that night, who in our lifestyle may have played with somebody else at some other point and maybe not yet at the point of transmission when you originally got your test. Then they are the night you play with them, or the day, or, you know, the 15 minutes after you do that test. So the paper is not worth anything because immediately, as soon as it is printed, it is wrong,
yeah,
potentially.
It's like buying a brand new car and having no, you know, it's devalued the minute you drive it out of the parking lot, right? I mean, an STI test is it's good for you. And
wow, you're going to equate an STI test to a devaluing of a car.
I'm saying, like, the minute you walk out of that clinic.
Just because they've left the clinic doesn't mean they're any less value than what they were when they were in there.
I'm talking about the results themselves. Thank you very much.
Go with something else.
Different analogy?
Yeah, maybe.
Something about microwaves? I don't know, white goods, just in general?
No, maybe just say that, you know, once you walk out of the STI testing, it's no longer valid because it's not a full-time, time-of-the-moment testing. It's a testing at a point in time. If it's 6 months old or 3 months old or even a month old,
even a day
old, how much sex have you had with potentially your partner and other partners in that period of time? It's just not worth the paper it's printed on. So you have to take people somewhat at their word as well. Granted, if you're going to have unprotected sex, you may want to see some form of sexual STI testing that gives you at least a more sound feeling that everything's going to be okay. But the real value, the real understanding of this is that it is 100% invalid as soon as it's tested.
Yeah. I think with STIs, you can mitigate the risk as much as you possibly can, but you can absolutely not remove the risk. So that's the first part. So to answer your question, I don't think that, you know, asking for STI tests, it's not really our cup of tea, Mike. You may want to try it. And yes,
No, you shouldn't try it because it's an invasion of their privacy. And frankly speaking, if somebody were to ask me for that, then they'd be immediately off my list of people that I wanted to be involved with anyway.
Which is interesting, actually, because then I think the response from the other people was, well, what is that person hiding?
Yeah, for sure. That's fine. I have no problem with their response. If that's their response, that's also fine. I have nothing to hide. Yeah. My concern is that there is an innate level of trust that goes into our style of lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have some level of trust in the people that you're with. That doesn't mean they shouldn't be tested. Of course they should be tested, and they should be tested regularly. As with anyone who's in a higher sexual aptitude or is having sex more regularly, they should be tested more regularly, absolutely. That is for your peace of mind to disclose to people in any way you see fit. In my case, if somebody were to be that distrusting of me, then the answer would be no.
Yeah. I'd also like to throw in here while we're talking about this, the location that that Mike's actually from, they actually do free STI testing in this particular place too. So, you know, to your point earlier, absolutely get them done. But I'd also like to throw in there, guys, can we just please get prostates, pap smears and breasts checked as well? Just throwing that out there. It is extremely important. Please get it checked. Well, I recently had a lump that thankfully has reduced in size in my left breasts. And that was like, thank God, you know, thank God we found it. Thank God it's reduced. No danger there. So, I mean, it's super important. The second part of that was, you know, the couple that, you know, told them through other people, has mentioned that they've played with other people and, you know, what do they do about it? What's their responsibility? I mean, the same thing goes for a party host, right? You know, yes, you have all people coming to you. If you're arranging an event, if you're group admin, if you have people around your house. My point to this, though, is you didn't hear this firsthand. You heard it fourth hand. You don't know what this other couple who hasn't even played with the couple in question, mind you, you don't know what their motives are for telling you or the other people that told them. And also it's a bit of a tattletale situation you got going on here too. So my recommendation is if you hear something not from the horse's mouth, just disregard it and move on with your life.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you believe that affects your trust with that particular couple, then yeah, I mean, don't play with that couple. But there is no way that you can navigate this without either destroying your relationship with them or destroying their relationship with the group. Now, if you wish to and you are courageous enough, and I admire you if you are, and if you feel you can do it and go and talk to them and actually ask the question, that's something that's possible. I mean, I don't really see an issue with that. Make the explanation very soft so that they understand that you're not challenging their STI status. And perhaps maybe you're just investigating something on behalf of your group to make sure that everybody's going to be safe in it. That's about the only way you could go, I think, and get some form of answer. But I think you're playing with fire by doing that.
A softer prompt too, just thinking about what you're saying, is that maybe because, you know, this particular person is looking after a group of people as a group admin, you know, could you perhaps, I don't know if you have newsletters or you're sending information out readily, but on your group, is this something that you could just put up as a general information? Like, hey, we went you know, we went and had our STI testing done today. Make sure you get checked up, whatever. Also get your breast checked, you know, that sort of thing.
It depends whether they have an STI and they're concealing it or not. That's a different story, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So thanks, Mike, and really appreciate that question. It is a bit of a doozy. Whenever things like this are involved and third-hand, fourth-hand information, it's a bit tough to navigate, but good luck.
Never trust the rumour mill because never you can be sure that somebody's pissed somebody off and somebody's decided to get back at them by coming up with the worst STI that they could think of, whatever that might be. And they've thrown that into the mix occasionally, and it may not even be the people that have originally brought it to you. It may be somewhere along the chain of communication that it went from, well, we had chlamydia and we got it tested and we gave it to each other and, you know, we've sorted the problem and it's gone away. And then
that was 5 years ago.
5 years ago.
Before we even got in the lifestyle.
Yeah, and that turns into something much more ferocious, much more sinister, and you know, that's where it comes from. So a lot of our communication we have in the lifestyle is done in places that are not quiet, in bars, I was about to say discos, but...
Oh, my God.
Fucking hell. It's only because this is what people call it at Desire.
I know.
Anyway, at the discotheque, you know, there's a lot of communications that happen in there as well, and across wires can happen. You know, they're not only... Can they happen between the original people who are talking about it and the secondary? But from there on in, it's just whispers. And we've all seen how whispers change along the way.
Absolutely. Let's move on to the next one. So this one's from A&R, and they're saying they're not that experienced and they want some advice. They love our podcast. They've learned a ton. They're having some problems with a couple that they've played with a few times. I did go back and clarify. They have played with this couple, I think, two or three times, and they're happy for us to talk about this. They're having some discussions about a couple they've been sleeping with.
I can only apologise for these people.
Sorry, guys. The other couple are wet fish. So basically, she lays there. She's starfishing, doing really not much, no passion, no interest, or it feels like. And the other husband is also expecting the same. Really, they're really not doing a lot. They're saying that they don't want to lose them as friends, but really they don't want to continue having sex like this because it's not great. So they're saying, you know, how can we fix this? How do we kind of move forward? And they've slept with them two to three times.
I have a question to pose for this straight away. Have you asked them what they're into?
Good. Keep going with that train of thought.
Because if you haven't, then it's likely that you're not providing them or they're not asking for something that might actually turn that wet fish into a flailing barramundi. You know, you've got to be careful here in this lifestyle that you don't assume that what your partner enjoys is what everybody else's partner enjoys.
Mm-hmm.
We've all been caught by that, and anyone who says they haven't is either a fucking superstar or a liar. You know, we've all done things wrong. We've all thought we're doing
not
the right
wrong.
Thing.
You've done something that you know your partner goes crazy about, and then you get
and
something
the other
else, and it's
finds
like
it boring.
And they're like, "Cool, let's go knit a sweater." Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. So you've got to make sure that you first establish what they're into. I mean, if they're into they're just laying there, you know, then
clearly
perhaps they're not the right type.
Well, they want to stay
you.
Friends though. So if that is the case, so say they do go and have a conversation about, "Hey, what do you like in the bedroom?" And, you know, their discussion is, we just want to lay there, then, you know, how do they move forward with being friends and not hurting their feelings and everything else? You just got to be honest. I think that's the only way to move forward with this because that's what friendship's about. It's about trust and honesty. And so you just got to say to them, hey, guys, that's...
Friendship's not about honesty. That's a lie.
What?
It's not about honesty.
What's it about?
Friendship is not about honesty. Most friendship groups are not about honesty.
What are they about then?
They're about lying, manipulating and stabbing.
Jesus Christ.
That's what most friendship groups are about. But we're not in a friendship group. This is a sexually charged environment. It's a different scenario. This is not a standard friendship group because otherwise if it were, all the ladies in this lifestyle would be telling you all of the problems you have with your body.
Okay. I see where you went with that, saying that lifestyle friends can somehow be more open than perhaps normal friends. But the way you went about that conversation, holy shit, that was negative. So the other thing that I did recommend, because I already responded on email, was that I think a good way, you're in a four-person kick chat, you know, group chat, start sexting. And, you know, between you and your partner, no. So say like for us, for example, I start sexting with you, you're responding, I'm sexting backwards and forwards. And talk about the things that you want to do or play out a sex session on the text in the four-way chat.
So what if your partner can't sext?
write an email to d@swingingdownunder.com and he'll give some handy hints. Actually, I do want you to write a blog about how to do better sexting.
Yeah. Me do better sexting?
Yeah, like how... No, so advice for people aren't at great at sexting, you know, an idea of a blog, but...
So that's a really long blog because it starts with how to flirt, and then from how to flirt, it goes to how to.
I look forward to reading the draft of that. But to finish up for A&R, that's what I recommended, and that's the way that they're going to go. They're going to start sort of sexting in the chat. They're going to say, you know, and then they're going to kind of bring it over to the other couple and say, like, you know, hey, what would you want to do in this scenario, or would this, you know, is this sexy for you, or, you know, what would you do next kind of thing? And they're going to try and engage with them to understand, you know, if they can make that work a little bit.
So what if they then decide they want to back out of this because they get, we just want to lay there?
Then, then just have the open conversation. Okay. That's really the end game. Yeah,
okay. It's just, I mean, just saying that you've got to be careful that you don't set an extreme boundary that you can't come back from, because if you become this all-encompassing sexter that everyone's like, wow, this is the most amazing, you know, chat we've ever had, and then you go from there to, hey, guys, terribly excited by how you fuck,
mm-hmm,
could probably backfire a little bit in terms of the friendship recovery.
All right. Well, good luck, A&R, and let us know how that goes. Send us an email. We really want to hear back about that, whether or not you turned the wet fish into, what do you say, flaming hot barramundi?
Just flailing barramundi.
Flailing
barramundi.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, okay.
Or leaping barramundi if it's easier for you to say.
Take your pick. So let us know how you guys go.
They don't bound though because they don't have legs.
They don't.
No.
This next one, these next two questions are from Instagram. So they follow us on our Instagram account, and I can't pronounce this username. It's like Gleeden Lily or something like this. So Gleeden Lily, she said, do you guys ever experience jealousy? By the way, SDU is my favourite podcast. Jealousy, that's a really interesting topic.
Let's just get over to the SDU's our favourite podcast bit. I mean, I'm much happier to discuss that than
the other bit. Thank you, Gleeden Lily. I don't know how to pronounce your Instagram now. I'm sorry. Jealousy.
Do you want to sound it out?
No. Shut up. I do want to do a podcast about jealousy. I think that the term jealousy is used probably too often. I think there's other forms of jealousy that maybe we need to have a look at a more broader scope. So jealousy, envy, all these kinds of emotions that can come with a feeling of either worthlessness or not worthy or things of this nature. So I'm going to have to answer you pretty simply because I think it's a bit of a big discussion. Do we ever get jealous? Absolutely. I do. Hand on my heart, I have no problem saying that. Sometimes, you know, I see people and I think, God, that person is very attractive, they're very intelligent, all of these positive things. And then I flip that and I think, well, I'm not at that level. And so therefore I'm envious or jealous or all these types of things. For example, there's a couple at the moment that want to see us for drinks in 2 hours. So there's a lady right now and she's a model. She wants to catch up with us. And it just...
But she happens to model as part of that.
She models. And so initially my reaction to that is, holy shit, I don't know, you know, am I going to be enough? Am I going to be attractive enough, thin enough? Have I got nice clothes? All of that crap that sits around in your head and makes you think I'm not worthy. Yes, those things float around in your mind. But in terms
And then
of-
on the other side of the spectrum, you've got me sitting here thinking, well, if I look at her too much or if I compliment her too much on the evening, then that's only going to reinforce that jealousy. And unfortunately, that could drive a discussion that C and I need to have later in the evening. So there's other aspects to this as well that I think Kate is right. You really have to delve into this. It's not as simple as just saying I'm jealous because of, but there's also what is the ramification here to the discussion at the table and also the discussion of your relationship.
How do you navigate it? Well, to flip that, so I've answered the question. So she's asking now, do you get jealousy? Aside from your flip out from 4 years ago, do you get jealous?
Yes, absolutely I do. I mean, regularly, more regularly than I care to admit. I just process it in a different way to Kate. I generally take it, put it in myself, walk away, think about it, process, then come back and discuss.
Mm-hmm.
I do that in many ways. I sometimes write notes. I sometimes just keep things in my head. I sometimes write myself emails, sometimes write myself notes on my iPhone, you know, whatever it is that I feel can help me get that discussion to a point where I can discuss it internally and make it go away. It just comes down to how you deal with it. But for me, I have to rationalize it. You know, I've got an engineering background and been fixing things my whole life. That's how I process it. I take it away. I pull it apart. I fix it and I put it back together.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, it's important to for everybody out there listening as well that jealousy and being envious, it's not a shameful thing. Don't be ashamed of this because, you know, think about every day when you're walking around a metropolitan city and you see somebody who has nice clothing or a better car or a better house or whatever these perceptions are that you have, there's an element of being envious to that person in there. And the lifestyle can really exacerbate that. It makes it come to the forefront because you really start, you can start to compare yourself or your relationship or whatever the case may be. You may even then question why is your partner with you versus not somebody else. So jealousy happens. It's just how you process it, how you deal with it, both within yourself and as a couple, that that really matters. But it's nothing to be shameful about.
I think the biggest thing is understanding your process and working through it. Mm-hmm. We all have a process.
Well, thanks, Glidilily. I don't know how. Okay, thank you. So there's other ones from our Instagram account as well, and this is from Desert Bro. He has written, what are some of your no-no rules when meeting potential playmates?
Some of my no-no rules. Mm-hmm. If they come smelly, then I'm out.
Yeah, that's true. Smelly, late. If they're rude to the wait staff.
Too late. And late without explanation. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're, frankly speaking, if you're anything later than 45 minutes, even with explanation, you didn't leave on time to start.
But, yeah.
You know, granted, there are some explanations that contramand that, like, for example, our babysitter turned up late.
Yeah.
You know, there are things around this. I'm not hard and fast, but frankly, if you're 45 minutes late and there's no real justification behind that, you weren't that interested in coming to start with.
Yeah. The other thing for us too is feeling like there is actual engagement before we meet the people as well. You know, if we're having a very one-sided conversation or it's super tough to get information out of them or we've got to be the constant conversation starters and they're just basically answering our questions, I'm probably not going to meet them because...
Yeah, but we won't make it to the meet, so...
That's what I'm saying.
So don't answer the question that's not on the paper, babe.
It says, what are your no-no rules? We're meeting potential playmates.
Yeah, so they wouldn't make it to the meet.
They wouldn't. But yeah, I think that's probably about...
Sorry, it's only because you told me that I have to answer it as it was written. So
I think that's about it, to be honest. I think it's either unkempt, smelly, extremely late with no reason, or rude to the wait staff.
Just rude to anyone.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, asking me whether I've bashed my wife recently is probably a fairly good example of that, which actually has happened.
Which FYI. Has happened. Thank you. You're still going.
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of other things. Their ears are too big. Their ears are too small.
Oh, sod off. You're such a liar.
If they've got food in their beard.
Food in your beard?
Food in the beard is, come on, tell me that food in the beard isn't it.
Just real quick before we move on, because this is getting a bit crazy. A crumb in a beard versus an entire length of spaghetti. Where are you at? Just no food? No food at all? Food ban?
I think if you've got the ability to grow a beard, you've got the ability to comb out a fucking length of spaghetti.
I'm just checking.
I'm getting the feeling, though, by your wind-up signal and the fact that you're holding up the vibrator box that you'd like to move on.
I do want to, but thanks, everyone, for your questions. Really appreciated it. Anyone else out there, if you want to ask us something, please do send an email through to cnd@swingingdownunder.com and we'll get back to you.
Yeah, I just want to go back to the first question. There's a few things I want to cover there.
Really?
No.
Oh. Dickhead. Sex toys. We purchased a bunch of new sex toys and I'm going to...
By we, Kate means I.
You did, yes. You spent a shit ton of money from our PayPal account. This is the thing. Actually, this happened on New Year's too.
And so if you'd like to donate to our PayPal account, it's not any of the email addresses. You know.
No, it's not. So Dee purchased a whole bunch of toys from Lovins. Now, I have been, I'm slowly going through the using of these toys and then I'm also going to be writing blog posts about them, but I'm also going to talk about them on some of our podcasts as well. So this particular one, so the Lovins is the brand. The type here is called Nora, N-O-R-A. Now, all of the toys that you bought me, Dee, are all like Bluetooth enabled and all the rest of it. Can you like run through all of that tech jazz before I talk about the actual toy?
Yes, I can. So basically, yes, you're right. All of the things that I've purchased for you are remote enabled.
Thanks.
That means that you're able to turn them on, turn them off, change the tone, frequency, even play music through them if you really want to do it. And by play music through them, I mean the vibrator or the toy will change its frequency, its movement, its bass tones and everything with the music that you're playing. So it allows you to engage with someone when remote away from them. You know, some of these are this particular one is an external vibrator and it's a internal dildo with an external vibrator that's meant to be a clit vibrator, and you can adjust both of those independently. Also, you can adjust the vibration levels, you can adjust the different pulse patterns and things like that remotely via an app on an iPhone or an Android, or there's a whole lot of, you can do it with your computer as well, actually, with another app. What it allows you to do is, I suppose, tailor the vibrator or the dildo to what best suits you.
And you don't have to be in the same house or the same room to actually use this. You can physically be in another country and you can be controlling that toy with the mobile phone.
Provided each person, so the person on the receiving end has to have their mobile phone enabled and engaged with the vibrator / dildo. The person on the other end is then able to communicate to their phone mm-hmm. via wider area network, which is commonly called the World Wide Web.
So you technically could buy this for a play partner in another city and potentially use this.
Another city in another country. There are some country limitations though. So mm-hmm. for example, I believe the process is actually not available in places like, well, in China, I don't think you can actually access it. I think it's blocked by...
Okay. So places where sex toys might actually be illegal, like Cambodia, for example. So now I'm actually going to talk about the vibrator itself. As Dee mentioned, it actually is it's an internal and external vibrator.
It's a rabbit.
So it's a rabbit. So according to them, it's the original Bluetooth rabbit vibrator.
Which is the case.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's pink and white. The charger on the bottom, I'll start with that, is actually quite good. It's a similar as some of the other sex toys that we've used that have the two-prong charger. They don't insert, it just sits on it. This one is magnetized. That made it a hell of a lot easier, I think.
And you are in the detail on this.
I just want to mention that because that was a standout for me.
That's the fucking standout. If that's the standout, then it's got a long way to go to be a good
get
deal,
ready,
though.
Folks.
Fucking hell.
So that
the
was
standout
really
is the magnet on the bottom.
It charges it, yeah. Apparently it lasts for up to 2 hours, but who's checking that? Now this
people
this
who play for 2 hours.
This particular toy, it's got a rotating head as well as vibrations. They say it is discreetly quiet. That's according to the box and according to the marketing collateral. I'm just going to turn this vibrator on. I've got it in front of me, and I'm going to make the head rotate. And I want you guys to just hear whether or not you think this is quiet. Let's see. Whisper quiet.
So put this at the same
discreetly
level as
quiet.
The same place as your mouth is right okay. now, just to give everybody an indicator.
All right, yeah. So I'm not going to turn the volume up. I'm just literally going to turn the toy on. That's starting. That's level one. There we go. That's level two. That's the end wiggling. I might actually also take some Twitter video of this, but that's not discreet.
Oh, it's not discreet at all. It's not even close to discreet. I mean, if I heard that going, I can hear that in the other room. I walked into the other room and I could hear you playing with that.
There we go. So that's the toy currently being discreet.
Now, that's without having the vibrator on as well. That's just the rotating head.
So so that's the, it's not quiet. It's not... It's definitely not quiet, and as they mark it on the box, it's sure as fuck not discreetly quiet. It is pretty,
oh, your mum's going to hear that
it's
shit.
It's going to be loud, yeah. People are going to know. So if you decide to take that particular toy away on a family vacation, they will hear that vibrator. There's absolutely no doubt in my mind.
If it turns on in your bag, TSA is going to be rubber gloving up.
Yeah. So now that I've spoken about a con, I'm going to go back to a pro, which is that it is waterproof. It feels really nice. The texture is great. So moving on from that, though, the con is that I found that this particular rabbit vibrator, it just doesn't hit my clit.
I don't think that it'd hit anyone's clit.
That's right. So we pushed this in all the way. We pulled it out slightly. We moved it around. We tried to maneuver the clit because it is quite flexible.
Not the clit.
Oh, sorry, not the clit. Yeah,
can't
my clit's super
clit.
Flexible. We moved around the actual the rabbit bit, the ears, I guess. What do you call this?
But the external clitoral vibrator.
Thank you very much. And we tried to get it to sit and it just wouldn't. So it would not actually, you know, give me any pleasure vibrating on my clit, which is a real shame. Because
so we have a rabbit vibrator for sale, going cheap.
I'm gonna keep using this. I want to give it a few more shots before I decide that it's not for me.
And then you're going to give it to one of our friends like you normally
do. And then I may give it to one of our friends. Rating for this one, pretty expensive as well. So in terms of the cost versus the actual toy itself.
It's fucking expensive, actually.
Yeah.
I think that was about $130 US.
Right.
So like... Not cheap at all.
So a pretty sizable investment for something that really didn't actually get me off. I stopped actually playing with this and I changed it up and got a new vibrator. I am actually a fan of a rabbit. I do enjoy the internal stimulation as well as something being on my clit. It feels really awesome. So the fact that this was slightly disappointing was not
slightly
great.
Disappointing.
It was disappointing to me. So it was.
I mean, how are you going to scale this? Is this a one out of? Is this a one to five scenario, or is this a 1 to 10 scenario? I mean, you haven't even figured out a scale before getting involved in this.
I'm going to say, but my sex toy scale is going to be 1 to 5.
1 to 5, yeah.
Yep, and I'm going to say that this is a 2.
A 2?
This is a 2.
What the fuck does it have to do to be a 1? Electrocute your vagina?
No.
Like, not on purpose, I mean, for those of you.
A 1 would be something that is not, well, for starters, a 1 definitely wouldn't have as good of a charger as this.
Oh, fuck.
I mean, the texture, it's clearly made very well. You know, all of these sorts of things has been designed well in terms of everything else about it, except for the fact that it doesn't sit on my clit very well. So, yeah, this gets a 2 because of the fact that it is expensive.
So it's loud, it doesn't work, and you changed it out.
Yep.
The saving grace is the
battery,
is the charger.
The texture of it is actually quite nice, and I think if you use this just as a dildo without moving it around at all, it'd actually go semi-okay. So that's why it gets a 2 and not a 1.
Okay. I would have given it like a 0.
You're going to give it a 0.
Yeah,
okay.
Fucking hell. For that sort of money, you want something that's either right for the majority of ladies or has the ability to be maneuvered to make it fit more appropriately.
Yeah. So I'm going to play with that and I'll get back to you guys. And I'm also going to write a blog about all of the Lovin's toys that Daryl purchased on news when he was drunk and horny. Let's move on. The next section is social media buzz. Okay, this one.
Why do you not have a little B on the touchpad yet?
Don't make me.
Dude, you haven't used any of the touchpads.
Because I'm worried that you're going to, like, I don't know, somehow punch me.
Lose my shit?
Yeah, lose your shit. Crickets.
It's not crickets. It's birds chirping. This is the problem.
I think it's crickets.
No, that's definitely birds chirping. This so hit us up if you think that's birds chirping. Just send it to c@swingingdownunder.
The title of this one, the subject is Unusual Things They Don't Tell You About the Lifestyle. This is from Firestarter69. Fucking hilarious. I loved reading this. There is actually 155 comments on this particular item, which is actually quite a lot. I'm going to read these dot points. You're going to tell me a quick few words about what you think about them. Dee, let's play a little game. Ready?
Ready.
Okay. Vanilla friends that find out about your lifestyle have one or two reactions. They are worried we're going to hit on them, or they want us to hit on them. But most of the time, it's not going to happen.
Well, we haven't had any vanilla friends find out yet, so it's not really a problem.
Do you think that any of our friends, if they found out, would want you to hit on them?
Yeah, not me. I have some vanilla friends that I'm sure would want you to hit on them.
Point two, there's complicated crossovers with varying and sometimes conflicting rules and etiquettes between the lifestyle community, e.g. hot wife, cockold, BDSM, LGBTQI communities.
Yes, there are totally conflicting. I mean, you only have to go and do a quick read of Urban Dictionary for any of those things that you've mentioned, and there's total contradiction all the way through it. It's just an absolute, just make up a word and use it.
Point three, all women are bisexual and no men are bisexual. Brackets, sarcasm intended.
Yeah, there's a big world of sarcasm there. There's certainly a lot more. There's a lot more men in the lifestyle that are okay with male-to-male play that then would at first meet the eye. And additionally, there are certainly some women out there, I think, who do it because they feel it's a requirement rather than because they're actually really engaged. And certainly we've had a couple of women along the way who didn't feel that way, or certainly didn't vocalize it, but they were definitely less interested in being involved with you than with me.
Yep.
So I think absolutely there's plenty of men out there that are interested in,
and there's plenty of women that aren't,
in this sort of play, and there's plenty of women that aren't. Yep.
A white comforter was a terrible idea and we spent a fuckload of time changing the sheets in our room, in our spare room.
Yeah, that was a fucking terrible idea. I'll agree.
True about the sheets, though. When we used to have people come over, like, you change the sheets before they get there and you change them after they leave. Like, you're literally using 3 sets of sheets just for the one fucking and a lot to wash. We should always travel with basic necessities, lube, condoms, toothbrush, medication, and anything else we need for an unplanned overnight.
I concur with that. We generally do travel with all of those, but mainly because we generally have protected sex even between us, just because of Kate's vagina constantly being an angry angry vagina. It doesn't rawr, and it doesn't do that clasping thing that you did with your fingertips.
Are you sure? I'm not so sure. It may do it. Let me see here. If we were actually being murdered at 4 a.m, none of our neighbours would notice or call the police.
Yeah, I think our neighbours would probably come near calling the police on us for just some of our
I think if we set a dinner party. We can walk into a room of 1,000 people and not find a couple we both find attractive.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yep. Actually, we've had a higher number than that.
Cheating is somewhat prevalent in the lifestyle, and some get off on the taboo of unpermitted activity more than the sex act.
No.
I disagree. I've actually never heard of anyone who has actually been cheated on when the two partners are actually in the lifestyle, because I would assume that you can just have a conversation and deal with it. If anyone out there has a different opinion, please do drop us an email.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, maybe we've just been really lucky, but certainly all the people we've been around have been very honest with their partners, in some cases way too honest.
Mm. Drunk encounters are a terrible idea.
Yeah, I mean, certainly if you're the man part of the couple, if there is a man part, alcohol plus erect penis equals unerect penis.
Okay. Swinging is expensive. A good month equals a lot of hotel, bar, restaurant, lingerie, club and toy charges. Well, we just told you how much that one toy costs that wasn't so great.
Which was ludicrous.
Yep. At least half.
I wonder if I can send it back. Use once. Like
basically brand new.
Yeah, warranty. It's use once. It doesn't work. It doesn't do what it's supposed to do. Actually, some warranty laws would actually allow for that.
Would apply.
Yeah. Maybe if we were in the US, we could do that.
Yeah, but you've got, like, if you think about togs, you know, buying togs, if you buy them.
You want to explain what togs are to anyone who doesn't live in North Queensland, Australia?
Swimsuit. If you buy a swimsuit, generally you can't return that, and it's very clear. Let's see. At least half of the new men have performance issues, especially in the club environments.
Certainly new men have a lot more performance issues than men that have been around this for a while, but that may not necessarily be anything to do with the ability of the men who've been around it for a while. I think there's just some of the men that have been around it for a while have learnt to take fucking Viagra and Cialis with them, or take it in general. Smarter way to go than being sitting there without it.
Women are equally guilty of touching without permission as men. Agree, wholeheartedly.
I would say that's more prevalent.
Yep, I agree. And then the final point here is rejection hurts more than it should. You can have 4 great experiences in a row and still feel shitty when you're rejected for the 5th. I'd also agree with that. It's emotions. You're human, you're people. Not feeling like somebody doesn't like you or they're not interested in you, that shit hurts. Let's just be honest. That's all. That's social media buzz, that one. 155 comments. I'll put a link on my on our show notes when I put up the podcast.
Wow, and there you go, people. That's one of those Freudian slips. You can see how this is all playing out in our everyday life here.
But as always, everyone, thank you so much for listening today. If you want to drop us an email again, cnd@swingingdownunder.com. Otherwise, you can catch us on our website. A few mentions on some events we're attending upcoming soon. We are actually heading to Naughty in New Orleans in July. We've mentioned that a few times. That's up on our website if you want to go there. We have a chat group that we've started. We're doing a meet and greet, and we're also an affiliate, so you can actually buy tickets through us if you're interested. I also did a blog post recently about butt plugs and took a few photos, so get amongst it if you're interested in checking that out. And thank you so much. We really appreciate the hell out of you guys.
Thank you very much for lifting.
And just one more for the exit. Let me just,
oh, my God,
just
make
one more.
It stop. One more. Please for the exit. Make it stop.
And laughter.
Okay. Okay, so yeah, that's enough.
All right.
We're out.
All right, cheers, guys.
Bye.